Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Appenings, everything APA, right here on this podcast, formerly This Week in APA. I'm John Aslan, your host, and I'm glad to be back again for another week. My guest tonight is a guy who, well, if you've been to an APA tournament, you can't miss him. He is a big personality. He's a guy that you gravitate to. You want to come meet him. And when you do, you are glad that you did, because he can bring a lot of laughs and a lot of fun to the tournament. And I'm sure he does that throughout the APA community. My guest tonight is none other than Tony Stevens. Tony, welcome to the podcast. Glad to get you on here and talk a little bit about your APA history.
Well, thanks for the invite here, John. I appreciate it. I just have one quick question. When you say, what did you say? Kind of like a big, something
big,
or other?
Big personality, and I kept it at personality. Personality does not go to any other area.
It's, oh, okay. I was just wondering if you talked to my wife ahead of time.
I have not, but if you need me to, I would.
No.
All right.
I think our wives have the same name.
You? Oh, really? So your wife's name is Brunhilde.
Yeah, exactly.
You have a Trish too for a wife.
I do. Trish the Dish.
There. That's, you know what? I called my wife that for a long time, and she forbade me from saying it anymore. So. But it is true. But it is true.
Yeah, it is true. Anyway, the history of my APA started back in the 70s. I had a friend just across the street there, and he bought, I think, the 76 game. And that's how I got introduced to it.
Yeah.
And I, hung out with it for a while, for a number of years. It was fun. Ordered all sorts of sets at the beginning. It was long getting up to Canada. At that time, I was living in Toronto.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I moved down to Phoenix, at that time it was, I was working out of a church, kind of just building relationships up with some of the young people there and, you know, doing stuff they want. They were big into baseball. I introduced them to APA. I don't think it hung. But then all of a sudden, I moved to Florida, got married, moved to Florida. And, five stepdaughters. I had to get something male in the house.
There you go.
You know, because the only other thing male in the house was the dog, and they castrated him. You know,
yeah, that's a bad precedent to set. You don't want to go there, right?
Exactly. I did not feel comfortable unless there was a little bit more testosterone there. So I got back into APA. Plus, my wife's uncle actually has an APA card. He pitched for the Chicago Cubs from 47. He got a cup of coffee in 46. So from 46 to 50.
Wow, there you go. What's his name?
Doyle Lade.
Oh, okay.
And they called him Porky.
Okay.
You know,
I'm sure he's proud of it.
Yeah. He had a decent rookie season. His first major league win was in 1947 as a rookie, and it was against Jackie Robinson and the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Wow, there you go. That's pretty epic. That's not bad.
Right.
Not bad.
Yeah, I thought it was fun, and that gave me the excuse to get back into APA, and, right. You know, since then, ended up going to, I think the last convention kind of thing in Lancaster before it shifted to Alpharetta,
right?
And when it shifted to Alpharetta, I was just closer, and I've gone to Alpharetta ever since, except for that pandemic year.
Okay.
Where it got moved.
Yeah, right. Right. So you've been pretty active in the community, on and off, different states, different cities, kind of made your rounds. Talk a little bit about what you're doing now. I know the reason that, or one of the reasons I have you on here is to talk about some of the tournaments you have been involved with and what you are going to be involved with. When did your I guess you would call it love of tournaments start, and when did you start to get involved in these regional tournaments?
That's a great question. People who like APA are not all the same.
Yeah.
Some people love to only play solo games.
Yeah.
Some people love to do replays with other people or tournaments. I can't play solo games. It just doesn't. I don't find the same fun for it.
Yeah.
Because part of my enjoyment of the game is to kind of do different strategies to win, and I just can't out strategize myself.
Yeah, you could be there all night.
And then I say, well, if I do this, then I'll do this.
Right.
Well, if I do that, then I won't do this, and I just can't do it.
Yeah, I get
it. You know, so I play tournament kind of things, and it's funny, before the regionals became a thing, in Florida, we used to just have, about a dozen or so people who would get together at this one guy. He was a teacher at a Christian school and a pastor. So we would meet over at his church in Tampa, and we would use one of his classrooms, and we would just kind of play a day game. We never called it a tournament. We never called it a regional. We called it APA Day.
Oh, I got it.
Hey, it's time for an APA Day. Let's get together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we did. Yeah. And, that's been going on. Boy, that went on. Boy, I'm trying to think how long that was. That was well over a decade ago.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting that you mentioned that some people are solo players and some people are face-to-face, whether it's card and dice or really even doing the APAGO now that you can virtually be face-to-face. But I agree with you. I mean, I have just recently gotten back into playing face-to-face with my 5-year-old grandson, who is absolutely eaten up with APA. I mean, he'll call me every day talking about a tournament. He set up brackets for a tournament that a kid can't read, right? So I have, and his parents don't get the game. They don't understand. I mean, he tries to explain it to him as best he can, but when I go over there, let me tell you something, we're playing APA, darn it. And so he'll roll the dice, he'll read the number on the card, and then I'll read the result from the board, and we play a game, and we go pretty quick. I mean, he's not one of these guys that dilly-dallies around. We play a game in about 30 minutes, but he knows the numbers now. He knows that normally, he knows that 13's a strikeout. He does, there's no question about that. 14 generally a walk or a couple of balls. But I've been playing solo on my computer. I play just the BBW game. But the thing is with that is you don't have to manage both teams. You can use a micromanager for one and then manage the other team. So that makes it a little bit easier, solves one of the problems that you had. But I think you're exactly right. I think that there are sometimes two totally different types of players, but I think most players could go either way. It just depends on their circumstance.
Well, you know, I think as they grow into APA, they can definitely find different avenues. You know, one of the things I'll tell you I've entered into the, I started a league even, which I swore I would never do. But Ken Schultz, a great guy, Schultz.
I know Kenny.
Or Schultz. He got me into this one league, and it was so much fun that we're doing that, started this other one, and we're having a blast in it.
Yeah.
But, there's different ways to do it. When you're in a league like that, where it's a draft league and you're mix and matching teams kind of thing, and a tournament, you got to go after wins every time.
Right.
You can. So you play what this other buddy of mine and I call, Mike Sparks, another great guy in the APA community. We call it APA ball. Mm-hmm. And it's not real baseball. you're playing what the boards tell you to play. But if you're doing a replay, you want to be as realistic as you possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a difference there. And you're right. When you play league play, you're out to win. And sometimes you do have to resort to quote-unquote APA ball to do it. You know, you got runners at first and third, and you got a B pitcher out there, but you're bringing the C pitcher because that'll get more outs on the guy's card who he's facing. So it's a weird dynamic.
I'm bringing an A pitcher, John.
that's the key. That's the key. Well, Tony, let's get to the tournaments that you're involved in and that you actually are director or co-director of. You just did a tournament, and I was trying to find more information out about this, and you kind of gave me a little bit of the background. Explain to the listeners who don't know about the Thanks for the Memory tournament that you do, when it got started, how it got started, and when it comes up during the year.
Well, it got draft started the month that we were locked down because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? March, April, back in 2019?
Late March, early April, right?
And again, it was definitely taken from the APA convention hockey tournament that Steve Scott started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where we just did it online. I figured if everybody's going to be locked up in their homes, or apartments, whatever, then they need to have an outlet, and I needed to have an outlet. So I started what I called quarantines, right? TEAMS.
Right.
And, we did that, and it eventually, and I don't know really how it did. I think I was just playing around with it. It seemed people enjoyed playing APA online, and I always thought online was a great way to get people from across the country to join together in APA.
Sure, yeah.
And somehow it just came up. Actually, I think it was you. Yeah, I think you were talking with Steve Ryan, the Chattanooga tournament director.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And I think. Boy, he's going to kill me on this one. I think you said, you can almost set your clock to it. This is the first regional of the year and blah, blah, blah. And I just said, well, I want to be the first regional of the year. So I came up with one for January 1st, kind of just related to the quarantines. But, and then I started to think of a theme, what we could do. And I thought, well, why don't we just do everybody who passed away in the past 12 months as a dedication and a thank you to them. And that came up with thanks for the memories.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Sorry, Steve.
I'm
sorry, Steve, that I undercut.
Yeah. Well, we'll deal with Steve later. We'll see him at the turn or at the convention. We'll have a little face to face and sort that all out. What do players have to bring to the table? Do you have different themes? Do you have the same thing? How does that work out?
Well, you have to bring the death certificate of the actual major league ball player who died.
That's good. You got to have, some kind of verification.
Exactly. And like I said, it's really just to honor those people who helped us. I got another call I got to get rid of. How do I get rid of this?
Oh, boy.
There you go. Got rid of them.
Attaboy.
So it's just a way to honor them.
Yeah.
And you just have to have the team. And if you don't have the team, I might have the team. So just ask me and I'll ship you the team.
So in other words, you take the guys who passed away during, I guess, what, the previous year? And
correct.
And then
the previous 12 months,
and then whatever team they played for, and it could be obviously a number of teams, you could bring that team as long as that player is part of it, correct?
Yeah, as long as they have a card.
Yeah.
You get 20 roster spots plus the honored player.
Oh, okay.
So the honored player.
He gets
so
the 20 person.
Yeah, there was one year, and you'll probably know this better than I do. There was three Philadelphia Phillies that died.
Uh-huh.
And I think they were in the late 60s, early 70s team. It was Tony Taylor.
Tony Taylor, yeah.
Couple of them.
Yeah.
They actually had 23 players eligible for their roster.
Oh, so you could have more than one player who passed from a team, and they're just added on to the 20-plus.
Absolutely. I mentioned that guy, Mike Sparks, previously.
Yeah.
He's a big Cleveland Indians fan, so he always chooses Cleveland guys. This past year, he had two guys who passed away on the 1975 Indians that he used, so he had 22 players.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. See, that's one of the things I love about these regional tournaments are the themes of them, and you kind of have a running theme. Throughout the year, really, guys could be looking and thinking, well, okay, and then say, oh, so-and-so passed or so-and-so. And then, hey, you know what? That'd be a pretty good team to bring to the to the memory tournament. Now, this tournament goes over, you were saying, I think, telling me like 4 to 6 weeks. It starts January 1st, but it lasts because it is online and it's an ongoing tournament, right?
Correct, yes. Because, we fit it in around our daily schedules.
Yeah.
We still work Monday through Friday,
yeah.
And the idea is to play at least one series a week, and you play each team in your division in a three-game series.
Oh, okay.
So you're online probably, hour and 15 minutes. And, you play three games, and you move on to the next team. You could play them all in one day if you'd like, or you could spread them out.
Got it.
And we get to the playoffs, and, then we go into a five-game series, seven-game series, all sorts of different ways to go. And this year, we had the 1962 San Francisco Giants win. They were honoring Bob Bolin. He was a C pitcher on the team.
Yep.
Randy Alton had, and he did great.
Yeah, that's fun. That's a great theme to a tournament. Not to say that death is a great theme, but when you see that, I mean, it'd be fun to kind of go through and see. Oh, okay. Well, who did he play for? And if you're going to be in a tournament or you're thinking about being in the tournament, it adds a different layer into regional tournament. That certainly is one that I think is very exciting. Who won the tournament with the 62 Giants?
Randy Alton.
Randy, okay. All right. So Randy took the title. And how many years now? You've been doing it since 2020. That was the first year of COVID, right?
Well, I think it might have taken me a year, 2 years maybe, to morph it into Thanks for the Memories.
Okay.
I think this is about the fourth year we've done it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. I mean, that's a tournament. And does anybody help you in running that, or is this pretty much something you do on your own from your home?
Well, I have definitely enlisted somebody. You know, we all have our strong points. We all have our weak points.
Yes.
And do you remember a movie with Henry Winkler and I can't believe the guy from Beetlejuice, Michael Keaton?
Oh, my God.
Night Shift.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Now,
no, no question.
Remember when Michael Keaton said, I'm an idea man, Chuck?
Yeah, I'm an idea man, Chuck. Yeah.
That's me. I have very little ability to follow through.
Yeah, right.
But I come up with these ideas.
Yeah.
And so I enlisted a buddy of mine, I met him through APA.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've grown into, it's been a good friendship. His name's Marty Benjamin. And he used to live just up the street from me when I was in Salisbury, North Carolina. He lived in Greensboro, North Carolina, just not even an hour away.
Yeah.
I enlisted him, and this guy is, if anything, he's the glue on those bindings that holds the book together.
Yeah.
And he fixes up the tournament constitutions. He gets rid of the redundancy. He gets rid of the conflicts, and he just makes it very clear.
That's beautiful.
A wonderful guy. I even have him. He does the same thing in the league I'm in, that we're about to enter, 1962,
yep.
He does the same thing for there.
Got it. So, and you need that. You need that. You need that. Now, does he ever send you a recording that says, "This is Chuck, shut the F up"? Remember that scene?
No, I actually don't remember that scene. I'm not sure if I actually ever really kind of stayed awake through that movie.
Oh, man, that movie is fantastic. If anybody has not seen Night Shift with Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton, oh, my. And Shelley Long. Shelley Long's in
that.
That's
right.
Yep, Shelley Long. Great movie. Anyway, okay, so you enlisted a little bit of help. So you're the idea man, and this guy's the executor, I guess, of your fantastic ideas, which one I hope is not putting mayonnaise in tuna. But anyway, you got a real interesting project coming up that you're sharing with Jack Dolan and Jim Zaschka. Talk about that. It's called the Return of the Rollapalooza, but you guys are kind of morphing three different regional tournaments into one. Talk about that a little bit.
All right. Well, let me kind of just first talk about the Return of Rollapalooza.
Yeah.
That's a tournament that I had. Eventually, those Florida APA days turned into a little tournament called what I called Rollapalooza.
Yeah.
And You know, so we did that in Florida, but eventually I moved out of Florida and just stopped it. And I've been looking for a way to kind of rebirth that. Yeah. And I put an ad in the newsletter that just said, hey, who's interested in a tournament in South Carolina mm-hmm. or North Carolina? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Jim does his in Virginia. Jack does his in South Carolina, Greenville.
Right.
And, you know, I was hoping to do something maybe on the opposite end of the calendar. But there was another gentleman who said he was also considering a tournament in South Carolina. His name's Rod Wood. So we started talking, and we figured we would just kind of collaborate together. And, you know, lo and behold, we pulled Marty in as well, because Marty's a specialist at making things so clear for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So the three of us have put together what has been labeled the return of Rollapalooza Carolina style, in which we choose somebody, a major league ball player, famous from either North Carolina or South Carolina.
Okay.
And, you know, those are the years of which all teams are eligible.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. I see.
And this first one is honoring Jim Rice.
Oh, yeah. Great ball player.
So we go from 1974 to 1989.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So those are the Jim Rice years, basically. And so you can bring a team from any of those seasons.
Correct.
Yeah. And that's the Rollapalooza, right? Or I said Rollapalooza, but it's Rollapalooza, right? How do you do it? How do you say it?
I don't know. I call it Rollapalooza.
See, I think I screwed you up with that one. Rollapalooza. Okay, that's better. That's better. I like that.
It's not difficult to mess me up.
Okay. So now talk about how this has kind of gone into a round robin thing of three different terms. Yeah.
Well, again, we're calling it the Triple Crown of Regional.
Right.
And we all ended up pretty much within, I think, about 6 weeks, 8 weeks of each other, all the tournaments.
Yeah.
And I just started thinking one day, you know, crud, we're kind of competing against each other.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice, instead of competing, we are, you know, helping each other out kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
So I emailed Jack, I emailed Jim, and we started talking about this idea where somebody who enters, whether it's just one of the three tournaments, two of the three tournaments, or even all three tournaments,
mm-hmm.
where we add up all their round robin wins.
Yeah.
And that's a special tournament all in itself. They're not going to be the same team, because Jack is a dead ball team.
Yeah.
And the early live ball.
Yeah.
You know, our Rod's and Marty's and my Rollapalooza mm-hmm. is Jim Rice years.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim's is something, what? Second place, third place finishers.
Now that's the Old Dominion. Dominion, that's the Old Dominion tournament, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And Jax is the Shoeless Joe tournament.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Shoeless Joe. Right. So, you know, I mean, if somebody joins all three and say wins 15 games, and that's the most that wins it in the round robin play,
right,
not including the playoffs, just the round robin play, well, they will get a special trophy themselves. That's kind of like a tournament within those other three tournaments.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like the triathlon of APA.
Oh, there you go. That's
see,
not a bad
see,
one.
Like, listen, I'm an idea man too now. You know, come on now, Tony. But
the best way to be is the idea man, because you just throw it out.
You just throw it out, right? You let somebody else do the legwork. I don't blame you. You're exactly right. Well, I love the idea. I mean, I think it sounds like a great idea. It kind of also combines tournaments. It combines the community. It combines guys that may not play in one of the other. Like you said, you can just play in one of the three tournaments and qualify, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
You know, and Jack, who I think Jack picks out the best trophies ever. You should have seen his, you know, Shoeless Joe trophy last year. Yeah. It looked beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and just so that I can kind of name drop, it looks beautiful on my mantle.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
That's a roundabout way of kind of, you know, tooting your own horn, I guess. But that's good. Well, but listen, you should. That's a big, that's a win.
It's the first time I ever beat Steve Schoff in just about
Oh,
anything, I
Steve
think.
is tough, man. Steve and Greg Wells, they're two of the best on Mount Rushmore of APA, boy. I'll tell you, they can play. They're tournament
Well,
guys.
I say that Greg Wells, Brian Wells, that whole family of
Yeah,
Wells,
right.
they absolutely have no character whatsoever. You know, because what do you say in sports, right? Well, losing builds character. Well, they
Yeah,
have no
they got
character.
no
They don't
character.
lose.
They don't have any character. And they're well, maybe I should stop. I was gonna say they're so humble about their success, but maybe some more than others. But I think that it's really kind of amazing that not only do they win, like if they were just really good baseball tournament guys, that'd be one thing. But these guys win in football, they win in hockey, any sport APA related, they've got it nailed, man. They're really, really good.
Well, you don't have to tell me. I lost to Greg in last year's hockey finals.
Exactly. We've all lost to Greg at some point in time. That's something that we can all put on our tombstones that we did lose to Greg Wells. But no, I really like that idea of the Triple Crown of regionals. That really is interesting. And I know John's kind of put that out there in the newsletter, so people are kind of getting the word out. And hopefully this podcast will strengthen that as well. But if anybody wants information, who should they get in touch with?
Well, you can get in touch with any of the three, tournament directors.
Yeah.
You could get in touch with Jack Dolan, who does the Shoeless Joe Jackson one. His is going to be, I think, September 7th.
Yeah.
You could get in touch with Rod Wood, myself, or Marty Benjamin for the Rollapalooza, Jim Rice year's one. I think that's about 4 weeks
Yeah,
later.
it's September
And then
28th, I
about
think it is, yeah.
Right, and then about two weeks after that, you can get in touch with Jim Saska
Yeah.
for the Old Dominion, because Jack and Jim know everything about what's going on,
Yeah.
with the Triple Crown of Regionals,
Yeah.
and anybody could fill anybody in.
Well, I'm certainly going to talk to both of them. I might talk to Jack sooner than later because I want to get with him on his the progress of the soccer tournament for the convention. It's always good to talk to Jack. He's a great guy to talk to. And I'll definitely talk to Jim as well, not only about the Old Dominion, but about this Triple Crown of Regionals. I'll definitely get a hold of him. And so we'll get that information out there, at least through the podcast, if not through other venues. But I think it's a great idea. I think it really strengthens the APA community, especially the tournament players. And I really appreciate you doing it because it really sounds like a lot of fun. Now, there's a couple things that I want to go through before we say goodbye. Number one, at the APA convention this year, which you are going to attend, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. Are you going to bring your Stanley Cup dice roller and your white gloves while playing in the hockey tournament?
Well, the Stanley Cup dice roller is a definite. That's always there. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I enjoy the story about how that came to be.
Let us know.
I tell you, right now is real sad for me because the Phoenix Coyotes have always, been my
Yes.
hockey team
Yeah.
since Winnipeg moved down to Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I was at one of their home openers 1 year, and they gave out these miniature Stanley Cups to people as they were leaving the arena.
Oh,
So
okay.
I
Yeah.
picked one up.
Yeah.
I had it there for years. All of a sudden, I pick it up, and the bottom fell out.
Uh-oh.
And this was after I got married. So that was actually, I got the Stanley Cup before I got married. So I had it 5, 6 years, and then we got married, and through all the moves and whatnot, the bottom fell out. I was back into APA by that time. And I said, hey, that makes a nice shaker. And that's how that was birthed.
But the first year I was at the convention, I was talking with John Herson, and everybody was rolling in the main room there. But it wasn't for the main baseball tournament. It was just some of the side tournaments, the football, the hockey. And he goes, "Take a look at that guy over there." And it was you pulling out your white gloves. You have the white gloves, and you were playing just regular. You're rolling. I don't know if you had a dice roller or what you had, but all of a sudden he said, "Okay, that's it. Stop." and you took out your white gloves, you put them on, you brought out your Stanley Cup dice roller, and you started rolling for the rest of the hockey tournament. And I thought, that guy's a real character. And so I ended up meeting you a little bit later on that evening. And that was my beginning to knowing a little bit about Tony Stevens.
Yeah, I don't think John really knows what to think of me.
Yeah, believe me, he doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know.
But hey, you know what?
My wife and I both at a point in our careers, we're both teachers. We both taught special ed.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, she showed me this diagram, and I recognize the diagram. It's the thinking pattern of basically how somebody with ADD sees different problems and whatnot. And she looks at me and says, "Does this look familiar?" I said, "Yeah, I've looked at this. I've studied this in class, you know, for special ed. She goes, "No, does this look familiar to you?"
Yeah.
I just looked at her. I'm like, "What are you trying to say?" You know, so he swears I have ADD.
Hey, as long as you're having fun, you know, I mean, that's the bottom line, as long as you're having fun. Now, and the other thing is, and I said I had a little surprise for you at the end, and I do. I just want to be one of the first, maybe not the first, but one of the guys who congratulate the Apex Predators for being the champions of the EYRBL 1961 World Series. You kind of alluded to it earlier in our conversation, but you won the championship this year. Congratulations.
I did. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I did. It was quite fun. EYRBL is Expansion Years Retro Baseball League.
I love those retro leagues.
You know, so we're expanding in 1962. We now have 12 teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was quite a thrilling World Series. Game 7, I came back from a 3-1 deficit.
Right.
And it was 3-all, and Game 7 went into extra innings.
Wow. That is
exciting. So it was lots of fun.
Yeah, yeah. I love those retro leagues. I really do. I've been in a couple of them, and they're a blast. I mean, the nice thing about it, well, they're different because you kind of know the outcomes of players. But, of course, the dice can do a lot of strange things when you're rolling them. But the other thing is you can kind of plan for future seasons. You can plan for when you want to be a competitor or when you're just trying to rebuild. And just playing the older players, you know, the old time players, and not so much old time, but now 60s are old time now. But you know, those are just fun leagues to get into, and I really enjoyed it when I was in them. So so what's that again? What does that stand for? EYRBL?
Expansion Years Retro Baseball League.
Okay, all right. So when you say expansion years, you started. And what, the first expansion year of the American League, or because
we started in 1960, the previous year,
okay,
and we moved into that first expansion year of 61.
Got it.
Now we're going into 62.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're going to sit tight until about 69.
Oh, okay. See, okay, I got you. Okay, that's cool. That's and that's one of the things about the people in the out the community. They really come up with some really interesting ideas, and some of them people might say, "Well, why would you do that?" The only answer to that is because you can. It's APA. You play it the way you want to play it. I was talking about my grandson earlier. I gave him all the teams. I bought him a set of the 2023 baseball set, and I left it to him. I said, "Look through them. Do whatever you want to do." I come back. He's got his favorite Reds on the Toronto Blue Jays. So now it's the Blue Jays, plus whatever Reds players he liked. And so the Reds are decimated, but the Blue Jays are a pretty darn good team right now. So,
yeah, they are.
But I told him.
You put a couple other Reds on.
I know. Well, you know, Spencer Steer, Ellie De La Cruz, you know, the guys that he likes. And I you know what I said to him? I said, "You can do whatever you want." Do whatever you want to do.
That's true.
It is.
Well, John, I'm going to tell you this. As right now, the only representative on this podcast from Roll Appalooza in Carolina.
Yep.
We want to, whenever you and your grandson are ready, invite you free of charge to come down and participate in the Carolinas roll Appaloosa? Because quite frankly, I think you playing Appa with your grandson, those are special times.
Oh, I love it. And it hasn't been long. It's only been like a couple months. I actually got the game. I bought his dad the golf game, and I've introduced the game to his brother, who didn't seem to have much interest in it at all. But he's really taken to it, and I told him, I said, you know what? In a couple of years, I'm bringing you to the tournament. He goes, no, you can't play in those tournaments till you're about 40, right? I said, no. As long as you can read, I got to wait till you can read. But we accept that. We would love to do that, and he would love to go. He is, as of now, he loves the game.
Well, let's hope you train him right so he can break Brian Wells' record of being the youngest tournament champion.
I'm grooming him right now. I got him in. We're in training right now to be able to beat the record. Hey Tony, listen, this has been a lot of fun. I knew it would be, and I really appreciate you taking the time, because I know you're a busy man and you work some long hours. Being a teacher is not an easy gig, and again, I really appreciate you coming on, and looking forward to seeing you down in Alpharetta in June.
Absolutely. So am I, John. I appreciate this time. Thanks very much for sending me the invite.
Not a problem, Tony. Thank you very much. That's Tony Stevens, everybody, who got a lot of things on his plate right now. And one of the things that I find really interesting is the Triple Crown of Regionals, the Roll-Appaloosa, combining with the Shoeless Joe tournament and the Old Dominion tournament with Jack Dolan and Jim Saska. Should be great. If you missed Who to Contact, listen back and get a hold of those guys if you're interested in doing it. That wraps it up for this edition of This Week in Appa. Again, Tony, thank you very much for being a part, and we will see you next time on Appenings.
You're very welcome. You have a great week, John.
Will do, Tony. Thank you, buddy.
Bye-bye.